Okay, whatever. Marvel finale, Batman's new costume in Batmobile, and I guess we'll just spin off from anything.
Yeah, comics.
We
DC
can talk about
stuff.
Original Sin, I guess.
Yeah, I'd love to talk
about
There's
all sorts
Sin.
Of fun stuff we can talk about.
Oh,
here.
We should, fair training, we should also talk about Futures In.
Oh, okay.
Episode 35 of Geeks and Square Table.
Issue
I couldn't even.
Hi, and I'm Lawrence of America. With me today is
David,
Homer,
Taylor,
Steve.
Alrighty. Now, we were also just talking about how Gomer is no good at puns.
I'm not.
No, you're the worst, man.
We were talking about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I was trying to explain how it is a Marvel of a TV show.
Yes, he did air quotes for all you listeners.
Because of the way it's been able to Marvelize.
See, I don't even think that one makes sense.
Yeah.
The way Marvel Comics work is...
Well, this time
and this is and this has been a huge complaint of yours.
The Marvel of the show...
He's using the... This time he's saying Marvel as opposed to like the comic
Marvel,
the company Marvel.
Yeah, the company Marvel. It's a triple entendre pun. Anyway, Larry's big complaint about comic books is you can't just read one Marvel book. You have to read four or five Marvel books. And that is a very good argument. I agree with it totally. But it's also part of the appeal of Marvel Comics, in my opinion. I can read this Marvel book and, oh, look, there's Spider-Man. And I know exactly why Spider-Man is talking like that because of what happened in his book. You know?
Well, my complaint is that if this was my big complaint with Iron Man 3 was...
The movie.
Yes.
Okay.
I watched it, and I didn't know what was going on because I hadn't seen Avengers.
Oh, okay.
So that goes very well.
Okay. That makes sense.
Everyone else on Earth saw it, though,
yeah.
And we all enjoyed Iron Man.
That's what I mean.
I was not I was not compelled to see Avengers because I didn't care about any of those characters.
Well, that's what I mean by
and so going S.H.I.E.L.D. back and watching it after, I mean...
It made sense, though, after.
Well, I mean, I
he was all bummed
I am the one person
PTSD.
On Earth that... kind of hated the first Avengers movie.
Okay. You are literally the only
the
person,
only
on,
person
Earth.
On Earth.
I know, it's me and a guy in Beijing somewhere.
Yeah. You can
I
both go to hell.
But the way Marvel Comics work, you read one, Spider-Man's in Avengers, what happened to Spider-Man in Avengers is also going to happen to Spider-Man in Spider-Man's book proper, or any other book. Presumably, that's their plan, that's always been the thing.
Well,
continuity.
Right.
They've added continuity to video, to film, between movies and TV,
and
it's brilliant.
That is what we have now with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, which had its big finale last night.
And that's what we're talking about, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's good that they have the continuity or whatever.
I think it's an appealing part of comic books that has finally been able to be translated into television
and
movies.
Okay. And that's all fine and dandy.
Okay.
If you go
I
into
hear some
it,
negative coming.
Of course.
If you go into it going into knowing that, that's fine.
Yeah.
Hey.
Oh, okay.
Now
okay.
I agree with Larry on that.
Go ahead, Larry. I know where you're going with
like
this, Larry.
Now, when I was watching Iron Man, I wasn't thinking about that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that this was going to be something.
So what you're saying is...
Now, if I go to a Marvel movie, but, I'm expecting it to bounce off the last one.
What you're saying is you might be hesitant to see another Marvel movie if you haven't watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
Which is why you don't read X-Men books.
Or you haven't
books.
Seen the previous Marvel movie.
Yeah,
right.
Which is why you don't read X-Men books, because you have to read
you remember,
10 years worth.
I almost didn't go see Captain America, because I hadn't seen the other Captain America.
I'll try and keep this as spoiler-free as possible, but there was something at the end of this S.H.I.E.L.D. finale, which I think might actually spin out into the movies. So far, it's just been a one-way street, where stuff that happens in the movies goes into S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
Which is understandable, because you know they were making these movies over a year ago before they even started the show.
And, the other,
and there's a lot more continuity.
Spoiler coming in now.
Yeah, spoil. You're going to get spoiled
about
in this cast.
Coulson is now going to be the new head of the rebuilt S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
Awesome.
I didn't think you. I thought it was his little scribbles on the wall.
That I'm assuming is going into the TV show going forward. Okay, well, speaking of it as a TV show, real quick. They did a pretty good job wrapping up the Hydra plot thread that they've been working in the whole back half of the season here.
Yeah.
But they have left a bunch of things out in the open for them to build on moving forward, like Skye's creepy, burned out parent that they showed briefly.
Yeah.
And also Coulson. Oh, there was some side effects to the whole resurrection thing after all.
Yeah.
Which was the stinger at the end.
Yeah, but,
awesome.
But was that something that was prompted by what Garrett did? Because Garrett did the same thing.
He did. Maybe him seeing what Garrett did made him want to go do it.
Yeah.
I can't really explain why it's taken Coulson months to get around to it when it took Garrett a matter of hours, it seems. They did use different versions of the drug, which may go into it.
Yeah.
Because they were talking about Garrett burning out before he probably... He wouldn't... Well, they well, use a drug to, they use a drug to bring him back, and he goes all like, you know, I can see space and time.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, well, the question is, was Garrett first or was Garrett second?
Garrett was the experiment. Garrett was the experimental deathlock.
Yes.
Coulson was the first, as far as we know, successful resurrection thing with the Tahiti project.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And Garrett used a crappy offshoot version, as far as we can tell, of the stuff they used on Coulson.
Of the drug.
Nick Fury liked Coulson, so yeah, you figure he wouldn't use him as a... May use experimental stuff on him, but not to be a guinea pig.
And he needed Coulson. Okay, he needed someone he could trust.
It turns out that, and this was from a few episodes ago, that Coulson was actually... Okay, again, big spoiler.
Yeah.
Coulson was actually the head of the Tahiti stuff going in. And he had his own mind wiped because he thought it was a dead end and that it needs to be closed, and he himself is a loose end, so he had his own mind wiped up.
He had reservations about the project.
Now, amazing. Is there a chance? Because I haven't watched it. I've been behind.
Yeah.
What you said, it could go into the movies. Could it? Are you looking at it maybe going in as a lead-in slightly to Age of Ultron? As the Avengers 2?
I don't know if it's going to be like an indispensable part of it. It could be referenced. Like, the Avengers can come back together and it's like, well, there's no S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore. Coulson shows up. Guess again, bitches!
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they still haven't resolved that yet. Because,
and they can't get rid of Samuel Jackson's character completely.
Right. Well,
but he's no longer Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
He's obviously not going away completely.
No.
They mentioned at the end of this episode.
He drops a hint that
so
he's
I guess
not,
you'll be nowhere? Oh, I'll be everywhere.
Awesome.
Sam Jackson was really good.
If you know anything,
classic Nick Fury.
Well, hang on a minute now. If you know anything about S.H.I.E.L.D., Nick Fury, even though when he's not a part of S.H.I.E.L.D. officially, he's always a part of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, my theory does explain...
Even without the vast resources of a overt peacekeeping force, he's one of the most dangerous motherfuckers
right.
on the planet.
Yeah. Because he's planned ahead of time for almost any contingency.
He has personal resources that outstrip a lot of small
people.
Go ahead, Dave.
If I was the head of one of the largest peacekeeping forces, I would have... backups.
Well, yeah, he has backups inside of backups.
It's like stealing post-it notes from the office. You know, you have post-it notes at home. He's stealing tanks and hideouts and satellites. Well,
In the comics, he has how many LMDs running around?
There's theories that he's never existed, that he is only an LMD.
Yes.
I think that Patton Oswalt's character is an LMD.
Oh, I do too.
He must be.
I thought that from the very get-go. There's no way Nick Fury is going to trust anyone to that extent.
Nick Fury doesn't trust anyone.
Exactly.
When you listen, spoiler alert, another Patton Oswalt character shows up at the end.
Oh,
he's
very
like,
cool.
Didn't he die? Yeah, I heard about him.
That was him. He passed away. But hey, we're going to get you your lanyards right away.
All right. He acts the same, looks the same.
Yeah. He talks the same.
Totally.
My theory for Nick Fury as not an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore, and I said this last time, and this goes right into some of his modern-day comic book stories. When he was kicked out of S.H.I.E.L.D. last time, he went undercover and came up with what he called the Caterpillar Team.
Right.
It was a team of street
level... Yeah, that was in a secret invasion.
Secret
people
Avengers.
People he knew were not Skrulls.
Yeah, people...
Because he was the only one who knew about them.
Exactly. Right. It's like one of them was the son of Ghost Rider and...
Like his grandson or something.
Yeah, one of them was the son of Ares. There were a lot of really cool characters.
Yeah.
With Marvel doing this batch of Netflix shows leading presumably into the Defenders being created... I'm theorizing that the Defenders are going to be Nick Fury's Caterpillar team.
That's possible.
I would love to see that.
That would be
good. I would love to see that.
One last thing on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. real quick.
Yeah, definitely.
The part with Garrett supposedly, like, oh no, they didn't kill.
Yeah.
I thought that was a pretty good way of playing with tropes and emotions because it's like, oh, they didn't kill him. They didn't, like, chop his head off or something. But then, like, all of a sudden, he's like, now I'm more powerful. And then all of a sudden, Coulson comes out of nowhere and just blows him in
the ass. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Well, the only...
I was pleasantly surprised that, oh, okay, they didn't do the stupid thing. And it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
He's like... Like, super Deathlock.
I have so much to catch up on.
The only thing I worry about is that if you go into a movie, because you haven't seen the show, you're behind. That is, all that, you know, having to read all these different books and know all this back history keeps people away from some comics.
Agreed.
Maybe, but
at a certain point, this may keep people away from movies and TV
shows. It's a hard line you have to toe, because it's very rewarding if you have seen the movies to go see it on the show, and it's very rewarding if I read Spider-Man to see him show up in FF.
With the success of the Avengers, it's hard for them to make the argument against them doing this.
But at the same time, if you have not seen the Avengers, this show is a complete waste of time.
If you haven't watched S.H.I.E.L.D., yeah, you miss Coulson coming back and then becoming the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. Those are two very important things that happen in one season.
Yeah,
of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that you'll miss out on.
Here's one thing about why Larry, it's not going to tweak the people not to go see the movies, is with today's media, yeah, you may miss it on the big screen.
But you'll get the summarizing. You'll get the summary.
No, you can get the DVD or the download.
Oh, true.
And all
or
that.
Netflix.
So much
I guarantee you S.H.I.E.L.D. will be on Netflix within 2 months.
Or something like that. You'll have no problem catching back up or anything like that.
You don't need to see. So you don't need to see the show to see the movies, but you need to see the movies to know what's going on in the show.
But if the right movie possibly clicks you,
because if you just watch the show,
you will go see it. The right person will. They're going to go back and look at it.
We're talking over each other right now.
Why are they in England when after Thor 2? Why are they in England? Oh, they're cleaning up after Thor. Well, what happened there? And then
The Thor tie-in was like more of a nice little shout-out than it was like a great tie-in.
Right? Yeah. Well, the first
adding
was Sif better,
and
those wacky as Guardians. Let's
adding
clean up.
Sif and Laura Lee, wasn't that her name?
That was awesome,
dude. That was really good.
But I'll tell you this much: I love the fight between
what movie?
In May and Ward.
That was pretty big.
That was power tools. Chainsaws, nail guns.
That's personal.
Nail guns get used in a profound way.
And that's personal. That's a personal fight. She is pissed. I bet she is so mad. I haven't seen it yet. The last three episodes.
Like I said, I'm behind.
But definitely checking them out tonight.
There's a very touching moment, which I don't want to spoil, but it's between Fitzsimmons.
Yeah,
very good.
Fitzsimmons, all good.
That's been building all season two, though.
It's very touching.
Nice.
And there's a lot of, this core cast of characters, even beyond the big picture continuity stuff, there are lingering questions going forward.
Yeah, like, what is Sky?
What's the deal with Sky? Yeah. What happens to Ward now? Getting into his spoiler, there's something that happens to Fitzsimmons that may change things going forward.
Awesome.
Cool.
I tell you, I do like the addition of Trip.
Trip's a good addition to come in. As far as a plot device works, he's the new ass kick guy,
and he's also connected to the first Captain America movie.
Yeah, so
because
we even
his
get
granddad
continuity.
Was one of the Howling Commandos.
His granddad was the black guy from Howling Commandos.
It's the only black guy. It's sad that we have to say that.
I don't know if he's the guy from the comics. I don't remember.
I don't think he is.
Which one?
But he was the one who knew French.
Yeah,
that's how I
learned
German. Yeah, he knew all the languages.
He was the one that jumped into the Hydra tank and was like, "Oh yeah, this one is the one that starts it."
I think he is part of the continuity because
outside
the
of
Howling Commandos,
Dugan, I don't know many of the
different races in the Howling Commandos.
But I just love it that he goes to his mom. And he's like, I got my granddad's stuff. And it's like old S.H.I.E.L.D. kitschy equipment. Like, hey there, the enemy's on its way.
Awesome.
That is so great.
Nice.
I did love the World War II spy equipment.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Somewhere.
Let's switch gears. Let's go switch gears to DC on film.
Yes. New Batman stuff.
And new Batmobile.
Giving us some teases.
Yes. All right, who likes the suit?
I like it.
I love it.
I like it.
I agree. I think it's going to work out very well.
I love it.
He looks bulkier, or is it just me?
No, it looks bulky.
It looks bulky. It looks like he's buffed.
Tactical, I think, is the good word for it. He looks tactical.
He went back.
Is it black?
Now, in the last three movies.
No, I think it's gray.
RoboCop Batman reference. It was more of an armor at the start.
Yeah.
And then in the second one, he had to go to more of a streamline, and so he can move better.
Yeah.
So you can turn your head.
Right.
Yeah.
And then in the third
one,
combination. So this one is, how do y'all think that's going to work out?
It reminds me of Dark Knight Returns, the costume from that, and rightfully so, because my thoughts of this movie are that Batman isn't going to make it through the end, at least this Bruce Wayne Batman, and we'll have a different one.
That's stupid and wrong.
But I think that's the reason they're using Ben Affleck, an older actor, And who knows what they're going to do with this movie, though?
They're
doing
so much. They want people to go see the movie.
You're
not
going
to bring people in to watch the Justice League starring Dick Grayson as Batman.
But that's an excellent point. I'm not taking anything away from that point. I just don't understand. I don't understand why they would pick an older actor like Ben Affleck to play an older Bruce Wayne and older Batman. Without a reason.
Well, how old is Batman supposed to be?
In his 30s.
In his 30s now.
According to which Batman comic you're reading, right? So
tops,
really, they could have
like
pulled that anywhere.
True.
Right.
But in Dark Knight Returns, he's supposed to be closer to his 50s.
Well, now,
Dark Knight Returns,
but
he's
like
here's the thing. Pushing 60.
What but what they're building up to, though, is the Justice League. And the Justice League came together, mostly they were in their late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah.
You know, give or take.
I don't think that they would kill off Bruce Wayne just to have just in the next movie to have to go through the whole process of introducing.
But I don't think you have to do that in the next movie.
It defeats the whole purpose of introducing him before Justice League.
How many characters are we being introduced to?
Listeners, this is Amanda who's joined us, the new voice.
Amazing Amanda. But how?
No, we need
how
some fresh blood in here.
How many?
Sorry, those kind of hand motions don't pick up on audio.
Just Amanda was showing her better half.
Yeah.
He was number one.
But how many character character introductions do we have already in this movie?
It.
We're getting a cameo at least from Wonder Woman and Cyborg, and I think the Flash,
and possibly
Luthor.
And Lex Luthor.
Lex Luthor, I'm assuming, is a major part.
I don't.
And a dark
I don't
side.
Think the Flash,
I've heard we're getting a dark side at the end of the movie too.
Doubtful.
The rumors are so
if it's
everywhere.
Just a stinger, okay, maybe.
That's what I mean. Definitely not any. You know, you're going to know about them. But I could definitely see them having a Batman and a Robin character. Having the Robin character in a Nightwing sort of costume.
Let's get away from this whole Bruce Wayne's going to die thing because I'm 99% certain that you're wrong.
Won't happen.
But back to the Batmobile
to
and the costume
the
itself.
Yeah,
really, I kind of hate that everybody's giving Ben Affleck such a bad time.
He's a great
Oscar.
No, he's an amazing
actor.
He's just
writer,
old.
You know?
He's just old, in
that's
my opinion, to play Batman Bruce Wayne.
Jesse Eisenberg's too young to play Luthor. Obviously, age is not something they're unwilling to play
right.
with.
Well I'm saying that's...
They're both almost the same age.
But in the movie, though...
They just look... Yeah, Eisenberg is way older than he looks.
How
he
old
only
is he?
Looks like 12.
Yeah.
I don't know. I assumed
he was mid-20s.
But that's my thing, though. The way they're casting it, they are casting young characters and old characters. If eventually all of these characters are going to be on the same team, not that they can't have older people with younger people on the team, it just doesn't feel like the Justice League that I'm used to having a venerable Batman.
Superman kills people and Batman's old, like 20 years old as Superman. It's not going to be the Justice League.
31.
Agreed.
Yeah. Looks 12, but he's 31.
So really,
he is older than I thought.
A few years different.
Yeah. But I'm saying appearance-wise, which is really what we're going with.
And then plus you got...
Affleck looks a lot older,
right,
dude.
And then we got what? Let's see.
I think it's
Batman Superman's going to be made.
Okay, so Affleck
come out
was
next
born
year.
In 72, so he's 11 years
42?
Older.
He's
something like
in his 40s.
He's
42.
42.
He's 42 if he's had his birthday.
So he's
42.
He's 42.
So...
I'm not saying that's old. I'm saying he appears. I'm saying he appears older than
and the, problem
the other
is,
actors.
By the time Justice League's come out, he's going to be 45 or so.
Robin in this new Batman?
They
so
haven't
that
announced
is,
that.
No.
I
that,
doubt it. They're
the
trying to do a lot already.
With Ben Affleck is the age, not the actor. Or anything
you
like
know
that.
What?
But
it's
45.
A DC movie. I'm just going to assume it sucks till proven otherwise.
Yeah.
I can almost believe that.
Me too.
At the end of the day,
with the
I
exception
was...
of the Nolan Batman movies,
right.
most of them are pretty ham-handed cheesy.
Agreed.
I was not a fan
Agreed.
Of Man of Steel just because I feel like Superman killing a guy is such a drastic
but
break from character.
But beyond that one thing,
that,
it was
though,
a good movie.
Honestly,
I haven't seen it, so...
A guy from work, because they are all kind of cheesy except for the past few, a guy from work suggested that maybe they should do the blue and yellow gray costume for Batman. And that would, I mean, if they're going to make it cheesy anyway, they may.
They might as well take full advantage of the cheese.
If they said Adam West was playing Batman, I would be there on opening
I would too. I would
especially
like to
if they
that.
Would
be
hilarious.
doing the Batu scene. There you go.
Can we touch on Days of Future Past? Do we want to get off of Batman?
Oh, real quick, we haven't even mentioned the Batmobile yet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I love the Batmobile.
Go ahead.
Batmobile's it.
Sorry.
Yeah, you derailed us with your stupid ass theories.
I totally did.
But either way.
I
know, man.
It's a stupid ass theory.
It is. It's a theory. I'm not saying it's going to be stupid. I thought it was stupid to include a Wonder Woman and a Cyborg in a movie called Batman Superman. That is stupid. So any theory that I come up with after they've established that is less stupid than the actuality that is happening. Go ahead, Taylor.
Costume. I like the look. Love it. It kind of has like an old-timey serial look to it.
Yes.
And I do like that the bat ears are not so outrageously long this time.
Agreed. Yeah. The Batmobile, we didn't get a really good look at it, but it looked awesome.
Yeah, it was covered in a sheet in the first photo.
Well,
yeah.
Well, the second photo, though, it was more, at least the one I saw, it was more out there.
I admit that I was looking at Batman.
You could see Batman, though, well, and then behind him was the...
But the Batmobile, it looks
definitely
like...
definitely wasn't the Tumbler.
It's a combination
of the Tumbler.
Right, the rear wheels and rear end look more like the Tumbler.
It's more the
but
shape of the one
out,
from the like
it stretched the, out some more
the Batman animated cartoon.
Yes, yeah, there you go.
And also, you know, the old Keaton Batman movies looks a little bit like that.
Now,
the Batmobile from the first two Keaton movies was awesome, and then the ones after that,
the ones from Batman Forever, things like that, were all
with
light
the big
up.
Fins. Yeah, not good.
Those were
not
stupid
good.
As shit. Yeah.
But the Keaton Batmobile is still my favorite Batmobile.
It's very iconic.
Beautiful.
It definitely evolved.
I was reading an article about one Batmobile that H.G. Geiger, I believe that's his name.
Yeah, he just passed.
Yeah, he passed away.
Yeah,
he just passed away. He designed one of the Batmobiles.
Yes, he did.
Yeah,
yes, he did.
Probably the one with the fins. It looks just
like a Xenomorph.
Don't posthumously ruin its reputation.
No, of course not. If you design the Xenomorph, there's no way you can ruin a reputation of that guy.
Fair enough.
Oh, yeah. Geiger is one of the best artists out there.
Amazing guy.
So.
Yeah.
Now, of course, he was supposed to work on the ill-fated Jandarsky's Dune or whatever. Mm-hmm. Design
yes.
them.
Yeah.
Yep. That's where he was doing those designs when he got hired for Aliens.
Yep. So
love those.
I think the Batmobile evolved very nicely from the Tumbler. It's got those aspects, but it's got the evolution of.
I feel like the Tumbler was just like it fully embraced a utility urban tank. Well, there wasn't really much of a Batmobile.
As it was,
you know, and it wasn't such a stretch. It didn't feel like a stretch.
No, I mean,
that our government may have one of these.
It fit the tone of the movie perfectly because this was the grounded.
That's what it was.
That's the real fear with the Batman Superman is Batman's a darker tone. Superman is always
a lighter tone.
Lighter tone.
Well, now he kills people.
He's going to be emo. He's going to have the black suit, right? Black suit.
Batman is the lighter character unless he's killing people too.
We really are.
Yeah, it'll be the Superman suit from when he comes back from the dead after the first time he comes
back. Right. Yeah. Oh, Reign of the Superman.
Yeah. There you go.
He'll have the mullet and everything.
So
Superman.
The world's really just, you know, like, okay, if you tell me Spider-Man and, you know, Captain America exist in the same world, it makes sense in my head. You tell me Batman and Superman exist in the same world.
And they're
world,
on the same team. And Batman just doesn't use his cell phone to call Superman anytime he needs anything.
That's a hard dichotomy to get right in the comics.
If you read,
Batman's almost two different characters. Well, not almost. He's two different characters when he's in Justice League as opposed to when he's in his solo books, because in the Justice League, he's alongside super beings, and he's fighting larger-than-life foes.
It's almost like he plays the manager role. It's almost like he plays the manager role in Justice League. Just tells everybody what to do.
He's the Bobby Brain Heenan.
He's Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Well, at the same time, though, he's still punching out Martians and doing things that are way out of his league compared to his solo.
Right. I mean, essentially, he is if I'm Superman, I'm a superhero, all right, and I see that guy as a crazy, whack vigilante.
In a bat suit.
Yeah, yeah, and Superman's like, I need to take this guy out.
And that would be like,
there's no taking him out, there's picking him up and carrying him to jail.
Isn't that how Superman Batman Volume 1 started? Where Superman was trying to stop
this guy? There's a lot of different versions of them first meeting at this point. I remember in the cartoon, the anime cartoon.
Any of them believable?
The guy from another planet and another guy?
If you're accepting the premise of Superman existing, anything's believable.
Yeah.
Right.
Fair enough.
But on that note, though, Batman is supposedly the world's greatest detective.
So he probably knew about Superman, or at least the rumor and all that other stuff.
And knew who he was, Kal-El. And knew.
You know, and knew.
So was Inspector Gadget. He was
Penny and the dog.
Penny and the dog. They were the ones doing the work.
Inspector Gadget was the tool.
Lifestyle Gadget.
But
I would love that I was watching the Inspector Gadget cartoon one time, and they're like, they always play that voiceover over it. There's one time where it's like the chief is talking in its Claw's voice.
I'll look at you next time, Gadget. Next time.
Yeah.
You know, cartoons like that, they always
in the movie, Weird Al played the Claw.
Yeah.
The movie, which one? With Matthew Broderick?
Yeah. And they never, you never saw his face.
Man, wait! Did we just mention another Matthew Broderick movie?
Oh man, we are.
Well, he's been in everything. Yeah, I know. Eventually, the Kevin Bacon game is going to come to Matthew.
Six
Broderick
degrees
game.
Of Matthew.
That's the thing. Interwebs make it happen.
Let's go. Let's go on to another movie now. Are we done with Batman?
Yes.
Days of Future Past has gotten over 96% on Rotten Tomatoes in early.
Wow.
Critic.
I heard IGN.
Yeah.
Did a great review for them. Yeah. Saying it was the best one since X2, which I guess they're not commonly positive on IGN.
Since X2.
They
need it.
Would you like a button to Nick Cave thing? That's high praise.
But yeah, it makes me super excited about Days of Future Past. Other X-Men news, Channing Tatum as Gambit.
Heard that.
Okay.
Yes. I'm pretty sure that's solidified. Not just a rumor.
Casting is less important to me at this point than writing because, I thought the guy who was playing Gambit in the Wolverine crappy reboot.
Yeah.
I thought the actor was fine, but, they wrote him into, a crappy
not Gambit. He was not Gambit. No. He had all these other powers that, he could manipulate the cards, make them
it was
move.
Like telekinesis.
But the actor was fine. You're right.
Yes, the actor was fine.
Yeah. Agreed. I think Channing, and the internet's just, that's terrible, that's terrible. I'm like, how many of y'all thought Heath Ledger was a terrible choice for Joker before you saw the movie? And they're like, So I was like, shut up.
Going back to Batman again, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. Right.
Exactly. Right. I'm giving Channing Tatum the benefit of the doubt. He was a good Duke from the G.I. Joe movies. Yep. He made a great Duke.
Yeah, he did.
Go ahead.
The G.I. Joe movies are so bad, they're awesome.
The second one was all right.
I haven't seen the second one.
Yeah.
Rise of Cobra or whatever. Yeah. Wait, no, is that the first one?
Yeah, the first one's Rise of Cobra. The second one's
Along with the Rock was fine.
Oh, it was great.
I haven't seen it, but the first G.I. Joe movie is so bad.
I wasn't about to watch
them either. All right, we're talking about
The Rock saves franchise.
He really does.
That's what he does.
And he was going,
last year, he was in more movies that made more money than any other actor.
Yes.
He's going to be Hercules in something.
Yes.
Yeah, there's already been a trailer for it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love that.
They're talking about him being Black Adam in a Shazam movie.
The bad thing is,
please do that.
He's a character.
Of course he is. Yeah. So how many actors are not Jack Nicholson
in something? You know, hey.
Okay, going in, you're going to watch Dwayne Johnson beat the piss out of a bunch of terrorists, and I'm okay with that. That's what he does.
As long as you know what you get.
He's in a new Hercules.
They somehow work in terrorists into Hercules.
Greek terrorists.
They're Athenian terrorists.
They're trying to blow up the Parthenon. Get him, Hercules.
To be fair, there are two Hercules movies.
Yeah, there was a new one. We just recently saw the other
one.
There
was someone that came and went, really, I think, without any acclaim that I could tell.
It was a B movie. It really harkened back to the Christian story that it was like the Jesus that they took the Jesus story from. It had a lot of elements of that.
You're talking about Samson?
No, it was the Hercules story.
It was Hercules. He was beating people up with chains. And
Right, but the Jesus story was
Hercules.
Samson.
That was Samson.
Well, yeah, but
they did that too.
No, this is Hercules. Samson was the one chained to the pillars. Yes, but there was a Hercules movie where he was beating the piss out of people with chains. That's probably not the crux of the movie, but that's just the only thing I remember from the trailer.
Wow. Yeah, and there were parts where Hercules said he literally was the son of God, literally the son of Zeus, and they tied him to a post and beat him.
Oh,
and that's where they the origin of that story eventually became the more. Let's get off this.
When
this
Hercules
subject.
Even notice someone beating him with a stick?
It depends on which Hercules version you get. If you get in the Marvel version, no.
He's a step below Thor. Yeah.
I don't know where this conversation is going, but let's move on.
That's fair.
Gambit, Channing Tatum. I think it's a wonderful choice.
Will he have to do the accent?
Of course she has to do the accent.
Louisiana, yeah,
you gotta have the Creole.
Yeah.
Gotta have the Creole.
Why are you doing Gambit if he's not Cajun?
Yeah. Are you saying you don't think Channing Tatum can pull that off?
I'm from Louisiana. Do I have a Cajun accent?
Not everybody does.
But Gambit does. Of Louisiana, though.
Exactly.
Yeah, but the Creoles I know, you have to listen very hard to make out what they say, because they don't like this.
We want more of the English.
There's a difference between actual accent and a stage accent.
This is actual accent.
We want the stage accent, where we assume that he's Creole.
Because I have cousins who are Creole.
I mean, are the characters going to come along?
No,
Shrimp? No. Shrimp?
No, Gumbo?
Etouffee?
Larry?
Yeah, they're not going to do anything. It's not going to sound anything like that. He's
going to
say in a few catchy words, put a slight tone inflection just enough to make us imply it in our brains that he's from Carol.
I think
he'll
say Monami, something like that.
The Gambit, the Gambit from
like from the 90s cartoon. It's going to be that guy.
The Gambit from the Wolverine Origins had an okay accent.
Yeah.
For the part.
Yeah. For the part, yes.
Yeah, for the part. But yeah, his whole...
That guy actually talks like that.
Yeah, I think he does, too. He's from Friday Night Lights
I've seen him in, he's got that.
Gambit is a world traveler, too. So he's going to be able to get that accent.
If it's
down.
West Texas, South Louisiana, I don't think the audience is going to notice
most
much.
People won't. Most people will just kind of glance over
As long as it's southern to some extent and not like southern Canada, I think they'll get it.
There's a big difference between West Texas and South Louisiana.
No, I agree. But to
Larry would know. He's the man
people.
Of the thousand.
Yeah, but to most people... who would hear a character speak like that on screen, I don't think they would make a distinction.
No.
They'd be like, oh, no, that's cool.
Look, they might as well go for authenticity, though.
Well,
less
you're
so
not
going to
have
that.
French mixed into West Texas. You're going to have French mixed into South
Louisiana. Well, he could be West Texas and just say Mon Ami, and we'd be fine. I think the audience would still be
fine. We are getting way ahead of ourselves.
It's still just a rumor.
Just
I don't know if Channing is actually going to
really,
take the role.
I mean, honestly, as long as the rest of the movie is good, I'll accept it if he has a Brooklyn accent.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, these guys don't want to play some cards or what?
Discrepancies throughout all the other X-Men movies.
The thing you got to remember about X-Men movies is each one is a reboot.
I mean,
I don't think they're meant to be, though.
They shouldn't, right? Because Wolverine is the same guy.
But that's different. Wolverine doesn't age. Wolverine doesn't age.
Most people would ignore Wolverine Origins. The Wolverine was pretty good.
The Wolverine was great.
The Wolverine is good.
It felt more like a comic book Wolverine than any of the other movies had.
But seeing her as a child kind of...
Yes, in X-Men Origins.
They kind of ignored that. They did First Class. This is Emma Frost.
They totally did. And in that prison scene, when they go... And Wolverine goes and lets all those kids out. You see Quicksilver in there. You see
Cyclops
is in there. There's a lot of X-Men in there that
it
just doesn't work with any of the other movies.
Well, they just threw a lot of characters in there just to be background.
And just to make Deadpool have all these abilities.
Deadpool wasn't in the movie. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, there's a character called Deadpool, but I agree with you. There was no Deadpool in the movie.
He's not Deadpool. He's
a merc with the mouth. How are they going to make him mute?
Well, and by the end, he had kind of opened his mouth, I think. His head laying at the bottom of the nuclear.
Isn't there, like multiple stingers in X-Men Wolverine?
Yeah, there's, like, alternate stingers, I think.
Yeah.
Because there's one where, like, the body finds the head and is like, oh, hey, what you doing?
Which is classic Deadpool.
Yeah. Yes. There's a fan film that's better than Deadpool.
A better depiction of Deadpool than that one.
Hey, remember that time you shot me with the tranquilizer? Tacos!
Oh, Deadpool.
Yeah.
Chimichanga.
What other comic book
movies
are coming
out? So that was supposed
to
be Deadpool then, of that thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
They actually call him Wade and Deadpool.
They call him Wade. Yeah. I don't think they ever referred to him. He's like, I put it all into my Deadpool.
Well, I think the TV screen, you know how like General whatever his name is like controlling him through this? I think at the top it says Deadpool.
Yeah.
Which doesn't necessarily mean
that was a shitty movie.
Oh, it was terrible.
Let's stop talking.
Even Sabretooth in that movie was bad.
Yeah.
Even though I love Liev Schreiber as an actor, but he was a terrible Wolverine or Sabretooth. The Sabretooth from the original one looked more like Sabretooth.
Much better costume.
But I understood they wanted to make the Wolverine and Sabretooth storyline, their history, mean something.
That totally doesn't make sense when you get back to the first X-Men
movie. It totally doesn't.
Like,
none of the X-Men movies make sense. Case closed. Period.
He's right.
You cannot connect them all. They just don't make sense. They're completely convoluted.
I feel like if you subtract the Wolverine movie, it works a lot better. If you ignore that one, the rest of them fit together a lot better.
Well, let me ask
this.
Origins
movie?
Yeah. Let me ask this. Do we think that Days of Future Past is going to fix that? It's going to do a good job of doing
it. Rebooting everything.
It's going to do a good job of...
I just hope they bring back Cyclops, because he got the shaft more than anybody else in those movies.
Professor X is walking.
Yeah.
Yes.
And,
at some point he is.
Yes.
The older one.
That has to do with who... it was connected with somebody else, one of the other characters. Right. I can't recall now, because it was...
Yeah. I thought one time in the comics, Moira MacTaggert helped him get the walking again at one time.
He's walked a couple of
times. Regained the use of his legs and lost it again on seven separate occasions.
Yeah, like when he was like hanging out with CR Empire.
If somebody asks me what do I need to know about the X-Men movies before watching it, I'm going to tell them forget everything you know about the X-Men movie.
Yeah.
Go in completely blank like you're voting.
Well, it's like the character of Rogue.
Welcome to America.
Completely underpowered in the movies.
It's sad.
Rogue is underpowered. Magneto's underpowered.
Well, no.
Yeah.
Well, okay, you had to nerf Magneto, otherwise there's no beating him.
Yeah, and Jean Grey's overpowered to an extent. To a great extent.
They won't.
Jean Grey.
They won't ever bring Carol Danvers into the X-Men movies.
Right, I agree.
She's a Marvel character.
Right. No, I expect her to be... The only way, but Rogue got most of her powers from Carol Danvers, Miss Marvel.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that aspect. But they won't bring Carol Danvers.
They can't.
Interesting point, Amanda was bringing up. X-Men, Marvel. All right, X-Men and Spider-Man both have the rights from a pre-Disney Marvel contract.
Yeah.
From like 20 years ago. X-Men is owned by Fox. Spider-Man is owned by Sony. And realistically, I'm fine with X-Men not being involved in the Marvel crap, because the Marvel crap is getting confusing as it is, and the X-Men is
throwing in time travel
and mutant
the
powers.
The X-Men are very much okay being their own.
Spider-Man could work into the Marvel, but the thing is, everybody wants the big cut. Nobody's going to give it up.
Spider-Man would work better in Marvel continuity than
I think,
or at least he'd as far as the movies they've been making.
I think he would.
But they need to keep him away from the Avengers.
I could see him joining the Avengers at some point, but currently, with the way they've set things up now, keep Peter out of the Avengers. Right.
Well, now we're getting way ahead of ourselves.
All of these movies together in the same universe would be...
What's going on?
Cool, but almost overwhelming.
Oh, you couldn't do it.
Maybe we should just be grateful for what we have.
I think so.
I think the current setup works
better.
Yeah. And then we get an FF movie, which might be just set aside.
Did Disney get the rights back to FF?
No. FF movie, they're getting the guy from The Wire, Reggie.
Yeah, he's going to be Old Man Storm.
Yeah.
What is his name? I can't even
Reggie
remember.
Something. And E is his middle initial. Name. Oh, I have no idea.
Daddy
Storm. Papa Storm.
Nathan sounds right.
I think it's Nathan.
Yeah.
I thought it was Nathan Richards. Maybe? No, Nathaniel's Nathaniel Richards. What? That's Reed's dad, the grandfather.
Right, I thought that's who it was.
No, we're talking about
the
Storms.
No, the Storms.
Father.
Oh.
As far as I know,
Sue
and Johnny's dad.
Old Man Richards, as far as I know.
Old Man Storm.
All right, so anybody want to talk about comics?
Original Sin.
Both DC and Marvel are doing their big new events. Original Sin and Future's End.
Original Sin started off.
I like how there's kind of opposite ends there. Original Sin, Future's End.
Yeah,
and they really
and they kind of rhyme.
Yeah,
almost.
There is one thing that's bugging me about Original Sin.
Go
ahead. It's like 1 out of 8.
Yeah.
All right. And seeing some of the invoices, there is like a 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, 1.4, 1.5.
The point issues are all going to be standalone titles. Issue 1.1 through 1.5 will stand alone. Issue 3.1 through 3.5 will stand alone.
Right. It's a 1 through 8 that they've already announced in the first three issues is going to have 15 issues. 10 point issues.
Yes. And that's
just
right.
Crazy.
It is going to do that. But events are always like that. Comic events are always like that. I like the way that they're doing this. They're saying, hey, if you want to get this, this is what the story's going to be. Go ahead and get it.
Spider-Man too.
Yeah. As long as I'm not forced to read it.
Okay. Exactly.
That's what and I like. The what I assume is DC's 52-issue Future End is going to be, they're going to put a .1 Future End for every book.
And it's not even a point one.
I wasn't even aware that DC did point whatever.
If they don't.
All right, well, it's going to be a thing. Future End number one.
They are one-shot issues for every single book that will release in September alongside every other book that DC publishes.
And they're also going to be headache-inducing.
Yeah, the 3D ventricular, whatever they're called.
Which, you know, sometimes
hold on to your wallets.
I'm
gonna buy a couple of them. I'll definitely buy
if
one
they
or
look
two.
Cool,
yeah.
Alright, I'll buy the cover. If
or
it
if I'm
cool.
interested in that character, right. or even a solicit, or even a creator.
I don't like going I might in pick for gimmicks up. Like Villains Month, though.
No, but I didn't either.
If I hear one individual issue is fine, okay, but I'm not getting it because it's Villains Month.
Exactly. I bought two books from Villains Month. One Riddler, and I don't even remember what the other one was. But I just bought the Riddler one because I heard it was Marvel. Good. I bought the other one because I liked the character. I don't even remember who it was.
In that case, got way the too books much. I bought Villains Month were only because they were the books I was already getting.
Yeah, I didn't do that. I didn't buy...
I skipped the books I was already getting.
Yes.
Because they had nothing to do with the books I was already getting.
But Original Sin definitely started off a lot better than Future's End, albeit Future's End is a single-length issue that... He's going to come out once a week for a month, you know, for their first month. And Original Sin was a double size issue that's only coming out twice a month. So by the end of the first month of both of these events being out, I think we'll be able to judge a lot better.
Yeah.
But Villains Month, or Original Sin went in some really fun directions. And Future's End is just building a lot slower. Love seeing the Nick Fury stuff in Original Sin.
I did like the start of Original Sin.
Yes.
I think it's off to a better start than Future's End.
But there's a bigger...
Well, I read Future's End Zero, and then I did not get number one yet.
Oh, okay.
Well, just because I mentioned this last week, but like the Future's End is a story I've seen before.
Agreed.
It's some terabad future is happening, and blah, 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 go back and fix it.
Yeah. Travel through time.
People have argued character dynamics, and I like the Batman Beyond cartoon.
Yeah.
But I don't like it enough to get it solely to read Terry McGinnis.
I'm not getting it just to read Terry McGinnis, but I'd love to see Terry's interactions with younger Bruce before Bruce knows him. The 5 years later thing is really what's turning me off to Future's End. We're really not sure if any of this is even going to stick, and most likely it's not. Yeah, most likely it's not.
Well, that's Superman that's the device. They'll be like, oh,
I will go ahead and promise you now that Batman dying and Superman being turned into a deathlock are not going to stick.
Oh, well, that's 30 years in the future, though.
Whatever.
So that might stick. I'm talking about in current DC continuity.
I don't think anything's going to stick 30 years in the future.
No, 30
period.
Years, but they already have a book.
Within 10 years, they reboot the whole
But no,
university.
DC already has a book.
My flying car.
DC already has a book that's being told 30 years in the future, their Batman Beyond book, and none of that Brother Eye stuff is happening. That's what I mean. I don't think the Brother Eye stuff is going to stick, even in their Justice League 3000 or any of the other books that are in the future. You know, in... current continuity in the future. But we were talking about nothing sticking to these events. How long do we think the Watcher is going to be dead?
You know, he might actually
And I'm just saying, he is.
He can live without him.
Of course.
Somebody else will take his place.
Yeah, there's definitely...
Maybe they get, like, Duatu the Watcher.
Yeah, Duatu.
And he really never does shit.
Yeah, and his head's really big.
Or it'll be the opposite. He'll do too much.
Oh, yeah, he won't watch anything. He'll just do all the time.
He'll watch on certain things.
I'm not very familiar with Watcher politics, but I think that there's some sort of council of Watchers.
There is.
There's always a rogue.
Well, they step. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they'd step in and be all like, "Whoa, well, we thought we didn't watch it was bad." You don't.
There's always a rogue.
Oh,
you just
brought me back to Rick and Morty.
But that was the thing about in Original Sin 2, he talked about how him and his Watcher buddies did go and give this one civilization like nuclear power and help them get, and then they end up blowing each other up. Right. So that's why they only watch now.
Right, but you always will have a rogue.
Yeah,
almost it just shows up.
The Watcher and his little crew reminds me of the Guardians, like the Green Lantern Guardians, a little bit.
They'll screw up, or somebody will screw up, and they'll get smacked down.
They both have giant heads,
so you know they'll get smacked down.
Odd skin complexions.
It'll be a new storyline in maybe 5-10 years. One of the artists or one of the writers will come up. Hey, you remember? Yeah, I can use that little bitty piece.
Yeah,
blow it up to another summer event.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a month though before we can truly get a gauge of how these events compare to one another.
Yeah, that's usually casual glance at the beginning here. I do like Original Sin.
Agreed.
Jason Aaron's writing it. And I like
exactly. The writing, the characterizations, the actual events going on in Original Sin are much better, but the shock moments in Future's End were great. For instance, Frankenstein's wearing Songbird's freaking face.
I'm sure you meant Black Canary.
Oh, yeah, Black Canary. My bad. Black Canary's head on his chest, and he opens his shirt, and she sings. That's freaky as hell, and it is one of those oh crap moments.
Sure, but I hate when a comic relies on
shock moments. And hopefully they won't rely on those shock moments just to make this book worth reading. So hopefully not.
Who's even writing it?
It's a montage. Lemire's on it. Azzarello's on it. Yeah, there's a few people writing it. Just like Batman.
I knew it's like a writing by committee type thing, but I forgot who all.
Yeah, and that can help or hurt a book. It can help because you know the book's going to be on time. It can hurt it because it's hard to stay on a path.
Avengers vs. X-Men seemed to do all right. It didn't really suffer because of rotating.
There's still got to be somebody that's in charge of the overall.
Oh, that's what it is. You need a strong editorial hand to get that stuff done.
It stays on course.
Yeah.
If it doesn't stay
original,
on course.
Yeah. Original Sin has Jason Aaron writing throughout, but it's going to have different artists issue to issue, as far as I could tell.
Well, so
it'll be okay.
Also, thanks to DC, we have a book out that's for free at your local comic book shops called The Greatest Essential Graphic Novels. And, of course, it is also only DC books, but it is good if you're wanting to look for something new to read.
Well,
bunch of various different characters separated out. Like, here, these are the best stories about this character.
Yeah.
Here's the best stories about
this
author.
I can definitely name...
And, you know, little tidbits about all of them. It's definitely good if you're not into a lot of history and you're wanting to get into it. Definitely worth
I could definitely name
out.
Some must-read Marvel trades, but probably the top five would all be
DC
comic books. Watchmen.
Watchmen.
You got like three or four Batmans in there.
Like,
All-Star Superman.
I'll throw in Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
Year one, maybe. In top ten.
Oh, yeah. What's must-read Marvel in that same aspect? I mean, sure, you can go Spider-Man Clone Saga, that's good.
I want to put that as a must read.
Exactly.
I like Age of Apocalypse.
Death of Gwen. I can think of more individual Marvel issues.
Exactly.
Like
individual issues.
Old Man Logan. DC considers Watchmen.
I like Old Man Logan.
I like it fine.
Batman,
I like
Dark Knight Returns. Sandman Volume 1, Batman Year 1, and V for Vendetta.
And then there's Alan Moore Swamp Thing.
Is the top. Those are the top six.
I can believe those.
Nothing Marvel has ever done comes even close to those, man.
The Fables, Killing Joke, and Why the Last Man and All-Star Superman. Yeah.
All-Star
those are the
Superman
top 10.
Oh, it's amazing. Good. I love it. I love it. It's probably the quintessential Superman story, dude.
Yeah,
that Red Sun.
Okay, how about Kraven's Last Hunt?
Oh, great.
That could be
awesome. Awesome choice.
Well, there's plenty of other non-Marvel, non-DC books out there, too. Of course,
I was just going
big two publishers, comparing the
big two.
Of course, I always suggest The Walking Dead, but, yeah.
Hellboy. Hellboy's got
lots of Hellboy.
Yes, Hellboy.
The Goon's pretty damn good.
Yes, The Goon.
And he's a Tennessee local.
Yeah, he lives in Gallatin.
Oh, is he?
North Gallatin, almost not even Gallatin, but yeah.
And Gallatin actually is the home of another famous artist, the guy who draws Nancy.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, I never knew that.
The comic strip?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Really weird, but yeah.
Awesome.
And if you go further north of Gallatin, you got Portland, and that's Jason Sean Alexander.
Yeah. And not Sean Alexander, the great Seattle running back.
And not Jason Alexander from Seinfeld.
Yes.
Jason Sean Alexander. But he, on his AMA a few weeks back, he said he was going to go back and do some of his early independent stuff he was going to redo.
Nice.
Have a good one.
Whoa. Very cool. We're going to see maybe something Dead Zone, or Empty Zone. That's what it was. Empty Zone.
Empty Zone.
We might see a return to Section 8.
Dead Zone Stephen King.
New version, speaking of must-read books, a new copy of Johnny the Homicidal Maniac, director's cut, new printing now.
It's one of Larry's favorite books.
It is definitely one of my favorite books.
Yeah.
Probably the first comic I ever got into.
Wow.
It's an awesome title. Johnny the Homicidal Maniac.
Yeah. That was the first comic to actually catch my attention and for me to actually sit down and read.
Nice.
So maybe there is some nostalgia value. Other than that, I mean, I never even touched comics until episode or issue of The Walking Dead.
Mm.
Nice.
Yeah, so.
Dark Phoenix Saga.
Okay, yeah, Dark Phoenix Saga should be on everyone's reading list.
Secret Wars.
X-Men. Secret Wars. God Loves, Man Kills.
Yes. Yeah. Very good. Definitely The Beyonder up there.
Just hang on
Wars.
I like Morning Glories.
Yeah, Morning Glories is a fun book. I'm so far behind in that book.
Well, it's
over
okay. You just want to read it in chunks.
You do really do. It's one of those books where you forget. Well, there's so many characters.
Independent wise, the very first Aliens versus Predators.
Okay, all right.
Dark Horse. I spent years finding the individual issues, but I just love that.
All the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles you can get in trade now,
And they're reprinting some stuff.
You can get them in color now.
That is a new movie coming out.
Oh man, yeah.
Oh, Walt Simonson's Thor run.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
And if I had to pick on an individual story, Ballad of Beta Ray Bill.
Yeah, Serenko's Hulk.
The Death of Odin, whatever that story was called.
Serenko's Hulk. What's good? The quintessential cover on there where he's holding up the words Hulk. I forget what that's called at the bottom. So I'm sipping my tongue. But anyway,
Mind the Gap's a good mystery one.
Yes.
Let's see. I just picked up Mind Management. I'm starting to read,
that.
The premise, I haven't, I don't, it's still up for verdict. You know, the art it's one of those non-traditional arts.
Okay.
But,
it sounds like it works for the book,
though.
So it
kind of threw me off, but the way that the trade paperback, I call it paperback, but it's actually a hardback.
Okay.
It cost as much as a paperback.
All right, nice.
So, I mean, it was less than $20. It was a deluxe, super thick, and it was such a nice, well-presented book. I'm like, I have to have this.
Well, speaking of, outside the big two, though, everyone on Earth should read Mouse.
Oh, yeah, it's required reading in most high schools nowadays.
Should
like
be.
B classes.
I can believe that.
Yeah, and it's brilliant. It's good. Yeah. I would even go as far as sticking with that sort of
Mouse or Mouse Guard.
No, Mouse. M-A-U-S. It's
Mouse. Okay, that is actually
World War II.
Rolling
epic.
Stone did a list of the top 50 greatest graphic novels.
It's number two usually.
Yeah, and that was up there. And
usually
another one,
Mouse, Watchmen, and Dark Knight Returns duke it out for the number one spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's another one, Ghost World.
I read that just recently. It was pretty solid.
They called it the catcher in
if
the
you
rye
like,
of comics.
Okay. I can see that because if you want to read a lot of teen angst, you should read Ghost World.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's... I like to...
That hasn't been explored enough.
Yeah, right. Teen angst.
Well...
That was
teen
Mark,
angst, like Spider-Man's
leader.
Teen angst has been explored, but this is the sort of different kind of thing. It's like a casual sort of...
Well, you know, those
the stories about these two
very,
girls who just got
let
out of high school and, they're drifting apart. They're best friends.
Oh, okay.
Well,
that's
the movie,
a cool story.
The movie had Thora Birch, Steve Buscemi, and Scarlett Johansson in it.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, a bunch of A-listers for as little exposure as it got.
Anything that has Thor on the title that was written by Walt Simonson or drawn by
Mike
Walt
mentioned that.
Yeah, I was just mentioning
that.
Yeah.
He does, to me, the definitive Thor.
Yeah,
yep.
Definitely.
Yeah, and I've found I'm kind of liking Warren Ellis.
Planetary is a good book.
You know,
good.
I mean, if I see something new with his name on it, I usually pick it up.
Cool.
And y'all were talking about artists earlier. There was something with Warren Ellis and Tony Moore.
Oh, very good.
And it's about some alien space hunter. Mark, do you remember the name of that book? I can't think.
Warren Ellis, Alien Space Hunter. No, you don't.
Yeah. Warren Ellis.
It's great, though.
And Tony Moore, and it was like, okay, I really like Tony Moore's art style. He did the first six issues of The Walking Dead, and they were beautiful. And by the time I'd read those, I was so hooked. I dealt with what I deemed at the time lesser quality artwork.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about...
That's weird. She usually never agrees with anything you say, Larry.
Independence-wise, what about Bone and Strangers in Paradise?
It's definitely Strangers in Paradise.
Bone's a good all-ages book where you can enjoy it as an adult and as a kid.
Bone feels more like just a really long comic strip to me.
Bone is like if someone mashed up Lord of the Rings with Ziggy.
Yeah.
That's actually that's a very good analogy of that.
But Strangers in Paradise is amazingly good. Yes.
That's considered the quintessential romance comic.
Yeah.
Which one are we talking about?
Strangers in Paradise. Now, there is another, the same guy, and that's some more art style I like. And it's very simple line drawings. Yeah. Echo.
I loved Echo. I got Amanda hooked on Echo.
Yeah, so
I got Talks Mag. He's like, oh yeah, it's like the Lifetime Channel version of comics. I'm like, what? Because there's a female lead. You're gonna hate on it. And what a great book.
Well, and you know, great book.
Going old school, Cerberus.
Oh wow.
And it's definitely
Cerberus is
they're more believable.
Was that the one though,
too?
Where like the
it's a believable science fiction story? It really is.
Has like revealed himself to be like an abhorrent human being.
Yeah.
Y'all were gonna roll.
No,
your
I'm talking about the aardvark.
That's right.
Dave's an extremely sexist. Yes,
I think
he's a complete asshole. But Cerberus is
Dark Phoenix saga.
Well done.
That's one of those things that's hard for me to disassociate the art from the artist.
The Legion of Superheroes. It was the first time they used Darkseid in the DC universe as a major villain outside of Jack Kirby's Fourth World stuff.
Wow.
And
we're talking about the Darkness saga.
Yeah, Legion.
I think it's a really interesting, a really well done series. At the time, Giffen and Levitz had just redesigned the entire 31st century for the DCU.
Yeah,
and a lot of really cool things, including Omnicons that look suspiciously like iPads do now. You know,
he always
does
that.
It's a fun series, and it's in my top 10 greatest comic stories ever.
Nice.
Yes, Omnicons that look suspiciously like props from the original Star Trek.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everyone loves Steve Jobs. He stole every idea he had from Gene Roddenberry.
You know, Steve Jobs did not steal anything. He just took somebody else's idea and repackaged
it. Just like Bill Gates.
Right, no. Yeah. Bill Gates stole some shit. Steve Jobs, he's like,
let's focus on how great Star Trek was instead of how...
Yeah.
Who ripped off who?
Star Trek gave us cell phones, GPS,
automated doors.
Yep. Which I didn't even realize was a big deal when I first started watching Star Trek because I had grown up with automated
doors. With grocery stores.
up until DS9, they had some guy with a rope.
A lot of the outtakes are Captain McCarr just running into a door that wouldn't open. Sorry! You hear it in the background. Sorry!
I love when the TNG cast had code for how severely the Enterprise just got hit, so they knew how violently to react to it. Okay, it's a 2. It's a 5.
Now, the stage did actually tilt one way. The stage would tilt up to like a foot or a foot and a half on one side or the other, and the camera would tilt the other way to give it a more of an extreme.
It's also really awesome just to look at like how much they got right, especially considering how crappy that budget was.
Dude,
That's the hard part. What can your effects...
TNG Gene Roddenberry in the script for A Counter at Farpoint. There was no engineering. They didn't have it in the script. Gene Roddenberry said, no, you have to put it in the script because if we don't get it now, we'll never get it. And that's how they had engineering. Woo, woo, woo. And it's probably the most timeless place in all of
TNG. Oh, yeah, there's so many episodes that focus of
on the yes.
It's hard to beat the bridge.
Oh well, you knew they were going to get the bridge though.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
and eventually they got Ten Ford and Sick Bay, yep. But there was no engineering. And that first season, if you don't have engineering,
Jordan,
there's a lot of stuff
Jordan
that you don't
a
get
huge
to do.
Character.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a
yes.
lot of stuff you don't get to do if you don't have engineering.
And he started out on the bridge.
Yeah, he's the ensign bridge crew.
Yep.
Yeah. Love so, that, man.
Yep.
What else we got, guys?
I think we got about an hour's worth of film or recording
film.
Here.
Oh,
so,
yes.
Sorry.
Film.
And I believe it's time for final thoughts. David.
Looking forward to Godzilla.
Yes. I'll just second that emotion. Second that emotion.
And I'll pass it myself.
Taylor, anybody you want to call stupid?
Too many people.
Too many people. Okay. And they say I'm the negative
one.
Instead, I would apparently a couple of months ago, the new Avatar comic started coming out.
Yes.
And I missed it, so I'm getting the first issue of that today.
He means Last Airbender, not...
Yes,
blue people.
For
those of you who don't know, whenever I say Avatar, I do mean the Airbender one.
If he says Avatar and means the blue people, he will say Avatar, the blue people.
Pocahontas.
Oh, yes,
in
space.
Come on. Everything's new.
It was Ferngully.
Yeah, it was Ferngully
well,
in space.
No,
that's what he actually said.
Well, no, he said dances and wolves in court.
Oh, did he?
Oh, did yeah. he? Well, he didn't want to be embarrassed. He didn't want to be embarrassed by knowing what Ferngully was.
In his official divorce proceedings, it's recorded that he pitched Dances and Wolf in Space to his wife, and that was the fight that led to their divorce.
Oh, wow.
So many, though. It's
like
it's Pocahontas. It's, it's a fine movie.
It is.
If you watch it, you enjoy it, fine.
Yeah.
I always thought Ferngully, too.
I love the effects in that movie, man. They're amazing.
And
I cry at the end every time.
It's one of the few movies.
Oh, Godzilla's it for this week. That's it. I've been waiting for this one.
Agreed.
Amanda, any parting wisdom for the comic book world and our... three or four listeners?
I'm more excited about the X-Men movie. Don't care about
having a marathon of Godzilla movies.
Yeah, despite... I actually am looking forward to the X-Men movie and Guardian of the Galaxy.
Yes.
You know...
Well, that's
it is. Right. Godzilla's only a few days.
Right.
Godzilla is 48 hours away!
Yeah! You know, but it's not something... It's one of those things. I'll enjoy more going to see Godzilla with everybody.
I am taking a vacation day from work to go do this.
Godzilla, once they see it, I bet they're just as upset as the
lion.
Oh, no.
I don't see this happening.
I read some bad reviews. I read three bad reviews on Godzilla.
The director could come out and give them $1,000 each. And they would still find stuff to bitch about. Yeah. That's the fanboy crew.
The thing about the Godzilla
movie.
Especially
when you consider how cheesy the old Godzilla movies
exactly.
are.
Yes.
But the thing about this Godzilla movie, if it doesn't do well, the Japanese will answer back.
Now, I think it'll do well, but it did get some bad reviews. I read that Godzilla was great. A lot of the characterizations were great. The acting was good. But it had trouble finding exactly where it wanted to go. Like, the plot does not go in a straight line. And it curves in places where it does not need to curve.
As opposed to the old Godzilla movies, which were an airtight plot.
I'm not comparing Godzilla.
Airtight then? Mutant. Twice mutant.
Yeah.
And never
gets destroyed in the middle.
And I don't think it's fair.
Tall or something.
I don't think it's fair to compare these Godzilla movies to the old ones. Maybe the 89 one, but not even... Even so,
it's
probably
really,
not fair.
I think it's
so much for this being our final.
All right, it's awful darn conceited of Toho Studios to say their movies are so great.
Yeah,
because literally they were pretty cheesy for even back then.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're out. See you next week for another
one moment.
Go ahead.
Good night, Elaine.
Good night, Elaine.
Got it.
Comic City 2.
OutRightGeekery.com. OutRightGeekery.com. Comic City 2.com. Son of Maddie. all that good jazz, whatever.
And in all my time in this podcast, it's the first time I've said, or done that first time.
Hey, come and see us.
If you look on NPR, look for a show called On Point. Over the weekend, they had an entire hour with two of the predominant Godzilla experts in the world. Ooh. This is amazing. He talked about how a guy died on set wearing the big costume. How a guy died.
Really?
It was like
there's somebody who's devoted their life to Godzilla.
It was like 6 hours until they realized he was dead in the suit.
Yeah,
they just thought he was hanging out.
When you're wearing a big rubber suit, you're going to get like heat exhaustion.
That's what it was.
They were talking about like draining gallons of sweat from
yeah,
every day.
Yeah.
To stop
but the guy, you get NPR, look on the for a podcast.
One of the original